Good morning. As was mentioned, Adam is feeling poorly. He gave me a call yesterday saying that it hurt to even try to read. So he didn't feel that it would be a good idea for him to attempt to stand up before you this morning. And so he declared a sick day, and you have me to present the lesson for you this morning. And I hope that it'll be a lesson that will benefit you, that will help you grow in your life with Christ. As we had our scripture reading this morning, lesson will be taken starting from Luke chapter 20, verses 1 through 8. To read it again, "Now it happened on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, that the chief priests and the scribes, together with the elders, confronted him and spoke to him, saying, 'Tell us, by what authority are you doing these things? Or who is he who gave you this authority?' And he answered and said to them, 'I also will ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men?' And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'If we say from heaven, he will say, Why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, all the people will stone us, for they are persuaded that John was a prophet.' So they answered that they did not know where it was from. And Jesus said to them, 'Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things.'" We have here a question of authority. The chief priests, the scribes, the elders come before Jesus asking by what authority he has been doing these things. And the things that they're talking about here are those things that have just recently transpired, as we read in chapter 19, about the triumphal entry where Jesus was hailed as king, about how he has come before and went through the temple and removed the money changers and those who were selling beasts for sacrifice, how he was preaching and teaching the gospel in the temple. All these things, these are those things that Jesus is being confronted about here concerning authority. Now, Jesus and authority is not a new thing, for Jesus has been recognized throughout his ministry as one who taught and did with authority. In Luke chapter 4, verse 32, it tells us that they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Later on in that same chapter, amazement came upon all of them, for they spake together, one with another, saying, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." In Luke chapter 5, verses 24, when dealing with the man who had the palsy, and he had just said, "Your sins are forgiven," and they questioned that, he said, "But that you may know that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to him that was palsied, "I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go to thy house." The centurion in Luke chapter 7 recognized Jesus' authority because he also was a man of authority. As he tells us there, he says, "For I am a man set under authority, having myself soldiers, and I say to one, go, and he goeth, to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." He was familiar with Jesus' authority because of the authority that he had himself. He recognized that authority. And Luke chapter 9, verse 1, when he calls the 12 together, and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29, it says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these words, the multitudes were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as their scribes." And so here, it's not that Jesus has been teaching or preaching or acting with authority, for he's been doing so throughout his ministry. But because of his most recent occurrences of him driving out the money changers, of him being declared king as he entered Jerusalem, as he's been teaching and preaching in the temple area, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders have come before him and called his authority into question. It's to be noted that they were people of authority themselves. They were men who had the authority in the Jewish society. They're the ones who are supposed to be guarding the religious truth for that society. They were the keepers of the law. They were the final arbitration. And they knew that they had not given Jesus this authority to do what he had been doing. And they also knew that Jesus was acting in a manner of authority that was superior to their own. And so they have come and they have confronted him, asking, "By what authority are you doing these things?" And Jesus answers their question with one of his own. And he answers their question by telling them, "John, was his baptism from heaven or from man?" And we can tell by their response that right away, they were not interested really in Jesus' answer. They weren't interested in Jesus' answer as to where his authority came from. Because when it came to answering Jesus' question about the baptism of John, where it came from, their first thought was not what the right answer was, what the correct answer was. Their first thought was, what was the politically correct answer to give? For they were thinking in their minds, not whether or not John's baptism came from heaven or earth. They were thinking in their minds, what answer can we give to this question that's not going to get us in trouble? Because they said, if we answer that it was from heaven, then he's going to respond, then why did you not respond to that message? Why did you not believe? But if we answer that it came from man, the people are going to take us out and stone us because they believed John to be a prophet. And so they're in a political bind here. They don't know which answer to give. And so it ends up that they say, "We don't know." And Jesus replies to them, "Therefore, I'm not going to give you an answer either." Now, in reality, did the chief priests, scribes, and elders need that question answered? They didn't. They already knew the answer to the question, but they had rejected the answer because it did not match their expectations. But they knew what the proper answer to their question was. One of their number had come to Jesus, as we see recorded in John chapter 3, where it says in the first couple of verses, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came unto him by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that thou dost except God be with him." It was so evident that even an unlearned blind man knew where Jesus' authority came from. In John chapter 9, verses 30 through 34, the man answered those who had been questioning him, those same priests and scribes, where he says, "Why, herein is a marvel, that ye know not whence he is, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and do his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, it was never heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered and said to him, "Thou wast altogether born in sin, and thou dost teach us," and they cast him out. Did they have an answer for his argument? No. They knew what he said was true. And so, when you can't beat the argument, you beat the messenger of the argument and try to cast it out that way. And that's what they did to this blind man. But they knew the answer. They knew where Jesus' authority came from. But it was an authority that was a message that they had rejected because it did not match, it did not meet with their expectations. The descendants of those men are still with us today. And they still ask the question, by what authority do you do these things? We today have all kinds of authority round and about us. We have governmental authority. We have scientific, scholarly authority. We have business authorities. And we even have religious authorities. And each one of these want to tell you how you should live your life. And they don't provide the same message. And so how are we to make sense of it all? I think we can make sense of it all by asking that same question that Jesus asked. Is what being said from heaven or is it from men? And how will we know if it's from heaven? 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17 tells us, every scripture inspired of God is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in what which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. What that means for us is that we have our authority. If we want to know what heaven's authority is, then we need to look at God's Word. And it'll give us whether or not, whether the things being said are from heaven or whether they're from man. For as I said, we have many different sources of authority in our life. We have that governmental authority, but that's the same government that's currently saying that things like same-sex marriage and abortion are okay. We need to ask ourselves, is that from heaven or is that from man? For when we look at the scriptures, we see that God is not in favor of those. In fact, in Romans chapter 1, we see that when God talks about those who went and gave up the natural use to go against which nature, likewise also men leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust, one towards another for men, that they worked unseemliness. And indeed, further down in that passage, he says that they that practice such things are worthy of death. Not only to do the same, but also those that consent with them that do practice them. In 1 Corinthians 6:9 and also in 1 Timothy 1:10, we're told that those who do such things are compared to being those who abuse themselves. And says that this is neither part of those that would enter into the kingdom of heaven, nor is that it is contrary to sound doctrine. And so when we look at the things that the government authority says is okay, we need to be looking at it and determining, is this from heaven or is this of man? The business pundits in our world tell us that we need to grab all the money we can, however we can do it. But when we look at that line, we need to look at it. Is that line from heaven? Or is that idea that of man? Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 20 tell us, lay not up for yourselves treasure upon the earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth consume, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Matthew 6:24 tells us that no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Matthew 6:33, where it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." The business world says, grab all the money you can, however you can. But when we look at the Scripture, does that thought, does that behavior, does that action correspond? Does it come from heaven? Or does that come from man? Our science and academic world tells us things like evolution is the way that all things came about. And that anybody who believes in anything else is a fool. Is somebody who's just blind and doesn't know what's going on and not worth listening to. But is what they're saying from heaven, or is what they're saying from man? When we look at the Scripture, we see that in Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And later on in verses 24 through 27, "And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after their kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them." The scientific and academic world tells us that in the beginning was this primordial soup, and from that came a cell, and that cell later divided and became two cells, and that through hundreds of millions and trillions of years, man came about. But is what they're telling us from heaven, or what they're telling us come from man? The religious world tells us that you just have to believe in God. And however you choose to worship Him is up to you. All you have to do is believe. But is that from heaven? Or is that from man? The Scripture we read where it says in Matthew 28:19-20, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." And we see that this was continued on from when the disciples carried out his instructions. For we read in Acts 2:42, where it says, "They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers." And when it comes to being saved, what does the Scripture tell us about that? We read in the Scripture that first we need to hear the good news, the gospel. For it's through that hearing that belief comes, Romans 10:17. "So belief cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it tells us, "And without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that seek after Him." We need to repent. For in Acts 17:30, it tells us, "That the time of ignorance, therefore, God overlooked, but now He commandeth men that they should all everywhere repent." We need to confess His name so that He will confess us before the Father. Matthew 10:32. "Everyone therefore who shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who's in heaven."
happen.
Just as those were instructed when they asked men and brethren, what shall we do? We also need to do what they did, as recorded in Acts 2:38. And Peter said unto them, repent ye, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And being buried in baptism, we're also raised up to walk a new life. Romans 6:4. We were buried therefore with him through baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. When it comes to your life, where is the authority for what you are doing and how you are living? Does your authority come from heaven, or is your authority coming from man? As Christians, we are ones who should be dedicated to living our life according to that authority which comes from heaven. We offer a time now of invitation. And we ask that question of each and every one of us. Where is the authority coming from in our life? Is it of heaven or is it of man? If we find that in looking at our life that that authority is coming from man, we need to get that life back to living under that authority which comes from heaven. And if you need to, we offer this time that you could come forward and ask for prayers to the church to help you live that life in accordance with God's will. And if you've never put His name on in baptism, there's no better time than today to do so, to live that life according to that authority which comes from heaven and not which comes from man. The question is yours this morning, and the invitation is given. Come now as together we stand and as we sing.